Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
I will say, I think there are many times when I read the transcripts even of
answers. It's about tolerance. It's about promoting.
Just ask, is that scar on your head, is that from the suitcase fall?
I saw a man expose himself.
I am a clown.
You are so hot. There's no
one left to torture. World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, where we head through the looking glass and beyond to find that truth. But really, we'd much rather go to a party, so we try to keep things party light around here, man. Right?
Yeah, pretty much.
God, man, yell at me, why don't you?
I can't hear the music. In your culture. What is this, man?
It's Leonard Cohen.
About sticking something up a hole?
Yeah, Leonard, you know, did I tell you I met Leonard Cohen in London and,
Yeah, man, who's Leonard Cohen?
Oh, yeah, you guys wouldn't know. Anyway, welcome to our show, world famous Phil Hendry Show. And coming up, I'll tell you in a minute, coming up on our show tonight, the JetBlue flight attendant speaks. And, what, bud?
Yeah, just as I said, because the guy, if you...
Get away from me, will you?
Why? Are you homophobic?
No, man. I don't want you leaning on me when you're telling me this stuff. Just as you said, ooh. You know something, bud? The news story said the man lived with another guy, that it was his partner. We know he's gay, okay? Make it a big thing. Quit being a child. All right?
Yeah, well, you're playing Leonard Cohen or whatever. Cohen.
Yeah, that's right. Leonard Cohen. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what it sounded like.
It's Leonard Cohen.
Yeah, but it sounded like Leonard Cohen.
All right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you make people think it's about a guy with a funny name.
Hey, man, back off of me. We just started the hour. Leonard Cohen, not Leonard Colon.
No, but you remember that whole colon cleanse? Oh, no, colon flow, that's it.
Yeah, what about colon flow?
What about colon flow?
Well, are people going to think you talk about that?
No, it's like, just let me illustrate. If you see that? Colon flow. For all of you,
turn that off.
Well, what about it?
So if they listen to a Leonard Cohen song, geez, they're going to think it's about colon flow because they don't understand that his name is Cohen, not
I didn't say colon. You're like, oh, colon.
Cohen, colon. All right.
Oh, man. You got to get it together, man, because the stuff you say, people don't understand.
I think people understand me fine. I think the two of you jackasses get together and they go, hey, Leonard Cohen, colon. And Bud with his whole, oh, yeah, I saw that JetBlue flight attendant, you know. You guys look for ways to destabilize the information around here. Do you understand? His name is Leonard Cohen. You guys are thinking about colon cleanse because of that colon flow thing that Margaret did yesterday.
All right, but at least you know we're not making it up.
No, I know you're not making it up. You're just making a big joke out of something that we don't have to make a joke out of. If you don't mind, it's the beginning of the hour. I'm trying to get people information. You guys have butchered the first 5 minutes of this quarter hour.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's too late now. It's too late now. The first 5 minutes of every quarter hour are the most important minutes of the hour. It's when you keep the audience with you, and you guys have carved it a new ass. Thank you very much.
I'm just talking about the colon.
I don't care what you were talking about. It has nothing to do with what you're talking about. It's about what I talk about. It's what I want to introduce into the hour. It's what I want to bring into the show.
I'm going to use I, me.
Shut up, bud. You understand?
Hey, man, really, shut up.
Just shut up. Here I was trying to start the hour, and I was going to answer Robert's question about Leonard Cohen, and I was going to talk about JetBlue, and you guys suddenly are talking about colon flow. I know the guy's name is Leonard Cohen. That doesn't mean it's my fault that you're talking about colon flow.
Well, what are you going to cry?
Cry? I'm not crying, man. I'm laughing my ass off.
Well, it's pretty funny.
It's asinine. That's what it is. Hey, you know, it's your fault, Phil. You brought up Leonard Cohen. Naturally, we're going to think of the commercial for colon flow. God. Anyway, the JetBlue flight attendant speaks, and we'll let you know what he had to say. Plus, eight things that can kill your chances of landing a job. 877-876-PHIL. JetBlue pokes fun at itself over the runway of the runaway flight attendant. And Mr. Slater, Stephen Slater, out on bail. And a very interesting aspect of the story, before we launch into it, the American people are behind Stephen Slater. The American people believe this is a working man who had just about had enough, and he had taken enough crap, and he wasn't going to take it anymore. And he said, take it and shove it. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. And out the door he went. And people are in his corner on this thing. JetBlue on Wednesday dispensed vouchers to passengers and some levied to the public 2 days after one of its flight attendants famously quit following a luggage bin altercation, perhaps realizing that the best answer to the public support of Stephen Slater might be humor. The company's blog had posted something entitled, "Sometimes the Weird News is About Us." The blog read, "It wouldn't be fair for us to point out absurdities in other corners of the industry without acknowledging when it's about us." Well, this week's news certainly falls into that category. Perhaps you heard a little story about one of our flight attendants.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Well, it says that while we can't discuss the details of what is an ongoing investigation, plenty of others have already formed opinions on the matter, like the entire internet. The case of Slater has been a web sensation, and some consider him now a folk hero. According to blogs and accounts, Slater received a small gash on his head during an altercation with a passenger. In a blaze of take this job and shove it, he reportedly used some profanity on the plane's intercom, said he was quitting, grabbed some beers. I think the grabbing the beer part is what really got people in his corner. Grabbed some beers and then deployed the plane's chute before sliding down and running away. Meanwhile, each person on the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to New York flight Monday will receive a $100 voucher, JetBlue said. Slater, who faces criminal charges in the incident and is now out on bail, told CNN affiliate WABC on Wednesday that support from the public has been so encouraging and very, very special. Here is Mr. Stephen Slater. He is the JetBlue flight attendant in question. Here is that WABC reporter catching up with Stephen Slater as he leaves jail.
Just ask, is that scar on your head, is that from the suitcase falling? Is it? Tell me about what you think about all the support you've gotten. You know about
it's been very, very appreciated. It seems like something here has resonated with a few people, and that's kind of neat.
You going to lose your job?
More than likely.
Do you care about that anymore? Tell me about...
No comment at this time.
Well, how about this? Tell me about rude passengers. Talk about that for a second.
There's a lot of wonderful people out there.
1,000
Facebook
fans.
That's a right
now. I gotta go take a bath. Thanks, guys.
I like that. What about that gash? Obviously, the man is keeping his own counsel because he doesn't know what's going to get sued, who's going to get sued, who's suing who. So he's very smart in not just spilling it all out there. Heather Robinson was a passenger on the flight, and she talks to CNN's Anderson Cooper about what happened on board.
Truthfully, it was pretty peaceful flight until the end of the flight when Mr. Slater let loose over the PA, and he just started cursing the passengers, F you, I'm done with you. He said something about 20-some years of this, and I'm...
Like, at that volume, like he was yelling.
He was shouting, and, you know, it was very funny, I felt, and there were some sort of college-age people near me who were laughing.
The New York Daily, that lady obviously is looking...
Yeah, she's going to be on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. The New York Daily News talks to passersby about their reaction to the Slater incident.
I think he's both crazy and a hero. I'm not saying that's like a healthy career choice, but I know that he had been working for a long time, and he could probably get a job somewhere else, or maybe he'll do like promotional things. He's like the crazy flight attendant guy who grabbed beers and went down the emergency slide. That's awesome.
If you're a flight attendant for 28 years, props to him for spicing things up. I mean, you know, it's probably been boring for the past 28 years. Gotta throw some drama in there.
He's probably going to get fired for it, but it's still hilarious.
I respect that, though.
I think it's really interesting how public opinion has come down on this. And, you know, the other night when we had on Art Griego, and Art was saying that the flight attendants have had enough. and that flight attendants, you know, were bound to go into revolt. Art was really speaking the popular opinion. And there weren't a whole lot of people who were going to argue with him, although we did find them, didn't we?
Yeah, there are some people who called our show and said that the guy, that Art's out of his mind.
Well, Art was saying stuff like there's going to be a big RF when they hit some turbulence and somebody gets on the intercom and says, we're going to crash, so you better get ready. It seems like everybody recognizes that the job of a flight attendant ain't easy. That the job of a flight attendant is, you know, hazardous, and you know, these guys put up with a lot of crap. Anyway, 877-87, what do you want, Robert?
I'm going to talk about Colon.
Colon?
Yeah, he said.
You mean Leonard Cohen. I'll talk. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil. Yes, I will. I'll talk about Leonard Colon. I'll talk about Leonard Colon coming up. New Yorkers arrested for marinating. This is a stupid story. I think there's less to this story than people want there to be. A New Yorker's arrested for marinating and planning to eat his cat. Anyway, and is Obama the worst president in the history of the United States? No. Was George Bush? No. Do people need a life? Yes. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. They're not going to kill you. Welcome back here. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. If you go to Twitter, I think we quoted you on Twitter, bud.
What, really?
Yeah, something you said about, I forget, but we quoted you on Twitter. We're on twitter.com/realphilhendry. We're on twitter.com/philhendryshow. Phil Hendry Show is the Twitter page that is kept by Rance and by Robert and by Bud and by everybody. That's our staff page, and then we have the Real Phil Hendry page where I kibitz and talk with all the other, all of us celebrities get together, and, well, they ignore me, but I, you know, retweet them. And anyway, and then we're on Facebook, facebook.com/Phil Hendry, and we have our own website, of course. So this is how you contact us, and if you have are a Backstage Pass member, you do get email response from me, and you can log on to our Phil Feed comment section. And you have access to our video casts, access to our daily iTunes podcast, access. Everybody has free access to our classic podcast, as well as the mini podcast. Man, dude, we've gone from like having everybody screaming at us, when are you going to do podcasts? We got more freaking podcasts than Carter's Got Little Pills. Don't ask me what those are. I don't know.
Yeah, what are you going to say about Colon?
The guy's name ain't Colon, okay?
I meant Leonard Cohen.
Yeah, I met Leonard Cohen in... Nobody knows who he is. It's too late now, man. You know?
Well, no, you can tell people about who Leonard Cohen is if you refresh their memory.
Turn that down, will you?
That was the music.
Leonard Cohen was a guy who was a folk singer. He's a Canadian, and he still is. He's a poet, mostly, and he put his poetry to music. It became very popular in the late 1960s. Leonard Cohen wrote a song called Suzanne. He was real hippy-dippy. It was real, and he's got very moody music. You can hear this music. It's all just dark, and he wears dark clothes, and he has dark hair, and just a dark guy, you know?
Is he black?
No, he's not black, okay?
Still, the guy's dark guy. I mean, he's black.
Well, you're saying he's dark.
He's a dark guy. His mood, etc. Well, I got to London. I was in London about 20 years ago. We were doing a broadcast for the late, great KLSX Radio, which is the classic rock station in L.A., where every guy that does a talk show at one time was on rock and roll radio. Any cat that does any kind of a talk show that's any good used to be a disc jockey. Anyone that does a talk show that sucks was never doing anything other than talk radio. Now then.
Oh, man, a lot of people are not like that.
I don't care. It happens to be true. In any event, we were there, and all of a sudden, here's this guy, and we go into the room. We were at the Royal Albert Hall. And we were at Royal Albert Hall for the Prince's Trust concert. And it was a hell of a show. They had everybody, man. Eric Clapton, Phil Collins, you name it. the Bee Gees, you know.
Bee Gees? Man, the disco, I thought.
Well, they were coming out of that phase. Anyway, make a long story short, there's Leonard Cohen. Now, the music this guy does is moody and dark and depressive and, you know, and you could cry and it's just, you know, sort of lullaby stuff and there's a little and he, the guy himself, is, hi, I'm Leonard. How you doing? Hey, all right. You know, and he's wearing this black coat and these black pants and this black turtleneck and he's all, hey, how you doing? Yeah, let's take. I said, do you mind, Mr. Cohen? We have my picture taken with you. No, no, no. Hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm Leonard. Yeah. The nicest man you ever met in your life. I mean, one hell of a nice guy. And happy and smiling and...
He might have just like done a couple of lines or something.
That's true. He might have just chopped off a couple of lines and...
God. Might have.
I don't think so, okay? No, I think he was just a very, very happy and nice man. So maybe he got all of his depressive, all of his angst out through his music. All right. We got some other news that we want to do here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I find it very interesting that 70%, and we go to this mosque poll thing, man, and, you know, we did a whole thing yesterday with Bobby Dooley and her husband, and they were talking about that they support the mosque even though they wouldn't want it in their own neighborhood. All this bull crap. A new CNN Opinion Research Corporation poll. Let me just say that again. A new CNN Opinion Research Corporation poll shows an overwhelming majority of people nationwide are against the Cordoba House Park 51 Mosque and Islamic Cultural Center proposed for construction near Ground Zero. According to the new survey out Wednesday, nearly 70% of all Americans oppose the controversial plan to build the mosque just blocks away from the solemn site in Lower Manhattan, while just 29% favor the construction. Broken down by party affiliation, 54% of Democrats oppose the plans, 82% of Republicans disapprove, 70% of independents say they are also against it. The poll also showed opposition did not vary widely by age. Support for the controversial project is slightly higher among younger Americans than older Americans, but even among those under the age of 50, 6 in 10 oppose the plan, said CNN polling director Keating Holland. A lot has happened since then. But a July poll found 52% of New Yorkers opposed the project compared with 31% who supported it. So it went from 52% opposing it in July. Now we're here in August and that 70% oppose it. The timing is bad. It's very difficult to explain. People could very easily claim that you are being intolerant of religion. And I think that's a real easy fall. I think it's a cheap shot. And I'll tell you why. No, I know that I'm not intolerant of religion. But I also know that in polite society, which is the society that I was raised in, I know that in a world where we respect the feelings of others because we have to live in the same neighborhoods, in the same cities, in the same townships, in the same states, that the whole world is like a big cyclotron, you know, where those neutrons are pounding back and forth. Well, the world's the same way. Things bounce way out there into space, and they come right back on you, depending upon what it is you're shooting out there. And it isn't about religious intolerance. It's about looking at the people that have planned this, that have pushed this, that have indignantly proclaimed religious intolerance when they didn't get their way, and we look at them and we ask, do you have any sensitivity at all, to the following? That this mass murder was committed by individuals who proclaim your religion as theirs. And would it be unusual or crazy for us to suggest to you that such was the profound impact of this event on the American people that you put off or perhaps change the location of the founding of this site? Is it so bigoted of us and so intolerant of us that we ask a little consideration? What bothers me is I believe in many ways that question has been asked of the people that have decided that they want this site there, and they don't give a crap. They're like so many other people who proclaim this indignation and these minority rights. They're going to push ahead regardless of how anybody else feels because that's their right. They have no sensitivity. They have no respect. They don't have any. There's no citizenship there. There's no good neighbor there. There's no camaraderie there. These people claim to be Americans. They claim to have the best interest of Americans, but they don't want to take into consideration anybody else's feelings about this. They're just going to go ahead and push right on because that's what they want to do. And a bunch of people fall in line because they don't want it to be said that we're intolerant, and they don't want it to be said that we're not progressive, and they don't want it to be said that we're not a bunch of ass wipes.
You know, that I almost agree with that.
Thank you, bud. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, more on the Ground Zero Mosque. Plus, do iPhone users have more sex? The answer is no. I have an iPhone. Thank you.
Phil Hendry.
Thank you, Mr. Hendry.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Say that, man. What do I got to be careful about? Welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show. What do I got to be careful about?
Well, you got to be careful. You're talking about a Muslim, that they're not American?
I didn't say Muslims are not American, Robert. Listen to me and listen. I got the same problem with Muslims that I got with Christians, that I got with any religious group in this country that continually tries to press its agenda beyond the confines of its normal, natural influence. It has a community that it represents. It has a constituency, but it's not a majority of people. It's not everybody. So you got to take your place in the line, man, especially religion. I know there's freedom of religion. Nobody is telling anybody that they can't have their religion. Nobody's saying that you don't have a right. They're building the mosque. What people were asking is, do you have any sensitivity at all as to what's going on? Or is this all about your ass?
Yeah, but see, black people...
Don't put black people into this, man. There's a lot of black people that don't like the mosque being there either. There's a lot of black people that are not Muslims. You know that there are black people that are not Muslim. Are you aware of that?
Well...
What do you mean, well?
Yeah, but most of them are.
What are you talking about? Are you an idiot or something?
No, but I mean, a lot of people are black people. I know are Muslim.
You know something, man? Maybe you just hang out with Muslims. Black folks are all kinds of religious. Don't get this bull crap about because this is about Islam that it's anti-black. Bull crap. It ain't anti-nothing. You know what people were asking for and what they didn't get? Because this is the rudest pack of bastards I think I've ever heard of in my life, this Cordoba bunch of scum. These people want to put a mosque there, not even pay attention to the feelings of the people of New York. Or the frankly, you know, I'm tired of this bullcrap about, well, I was in New York. Let me tell you something, man. 9/11 was about everybody in America. Everybody in America. Don't give me this crap about how you were in New York. I'm getting tired of hearing that. You don't know. I was in New York. Jack, I live in America. That was my country, too, right? That hurt everybody. Don't start giving me that people appropriating this because they were geographically closer. That scared the crap out of. It pissed off. It motivated a lot of people. You going to tell me that you got more of a right to talk about 9/11 because you live in New York? What about the guy that lives in Portland, Oregon, and went in and joined the Army or the Marine Corps right after that happened and went off to Iraq or Afghanistan, got his ass shot up? Or some dude that lives in Hawaii or Florida or as far away from New York as you can get? All this stuff about I live in New York. You know what? It was never, truer words were never said. We all lived in New York that day, and from every day after that. And all I'm saying is, you can have your mosque, man, you know? You can have your mosque. You can do whatever you want. You got approval. Some politicians in New York, for whatever reason, and it's mind-blowing. There's nobody that stood there and said, you know, gentlemen, I understand your application, but I have to tell you that right now is probably not the time. There's a lot of really raw feelings about this. There's just, well, what are you being bigoted? No, we're not being bigoted. We're looking at the reality of how people are going to respond to this. And we'd be more than willing to do this, do that. They offered them free public land. It got turned down. Here's the story here. Developers of a Muslim community center near the site of the September the 11th terror attacks in New York Wednesday declined an offer to relocate the project. Patterson, and people say, is this about religious intolerance? Why do you identify the terror attacks with Islam? You know full damn well, man, that those attacks were planned by fundamentalist jihadist Islamists. That religion was front and center that day and every day afterward as the result of those attacks. And if you're trying to educate my ass as to how Marvy Islam is, I'm more than happy to get educated, but I'll get educated on my own time, in my own way, and you ain't going to shove it down my throat. It's a religion, man. It is not, we're not talking about a racial reality. We're not talking about sexual orientation. We're not talking about gender. We're talking about your religious choice. You chose to put on the beanie and to do your five times a day and whatever the hell you guys do. I don't care. Fine, good, great. And Allah this and Muhammad that, and I can't draw a picture and I can't do this. I can't do that. You got to wash your feet. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got a million and one different rules. You want to tell everybody how it's supposed to be. You know, we had enough of that with Christians. The Christians telling everybody what it's got to be. What day we're going to take off. How we're going to do this. How we're going to do that. What laws the Christians will tolerate. You got nothing to say about it. We got a constitution. That's what that tells the story for me. That's my Bible. That's all I need, man. Well, you know, we're Christians and we need to... What do you need to do? Take a dump? That's what it looks to me like you need to take a bowel movement. Isn't that too bad? Well, I hope you're very, very happy living in your underground compound, man. Because frankly, that's where you're going to have to live because the world's moving forward. With or without you, stupid ass. And Jews. And all of them. But these guys, I'm telling you, these people, it's like, well, you know, my religious freedom, that's not enough. Well, what else do you need? I'd like to stick a thumb in your eye. Do you mind if I do that too? Because it gives me kicks. That's how I get my kicks. I mean, this is America. We do have religious. Yes, we have religious. Okay, well, I'd like to put a mosque at Ground Zero because I think it's just going to be funny to stick it up your rear end. Look at America. Look what we did. We were able to stick a mosque at Ground Zero. I mean, the indignation these Americans will swallow because they're falling all over themselves to be loved by a world that is not worthy of them. You heard what I said. If you look at every society around the world, and you look at America, and you look at history, which is something that I know I'm asking a lot, because most people wouldn't know a history book from a cookbook, but if you take a look at how we have progressed to this point, you would have a far better appreciation of your country and what this society represents. And you look at the rest of the world, and we're getting on our hands and knees and wishing the rest of the world that we should kiss their ass. They ought to be on their hands and knees kissing our ass. But no, we fall all over ourselves. Please, France and Bulgaria and whatever the hell, you know.
Bulgaria?
Well, yeah, don't they want to love us? You know, we want them to love us, don't they?
Yeah, I don't know, man, about Bulgaria.
I know that I want to have a France do.
Oh, you want to have a France do, but you don't want to have Bulgaria kiss your ass? Well. Oh, well, we got to have the whole world loving on us, man, because if they don't, we've made terrible mistakes. Oh, my goodness, George Bush, and now Obama. Goodness gracious me, what can we do to make it up to the world, which is so vastly superior to what we are? Give me a break, will you? Yeah, yank the other one, man. See if there's any bells on it, you know. What are you doing?
Trying to yank it.
Get off on my leg, will you?
You said to see if there were...
I know what I said. Yanking my leg. Here is former New York Governor George Pataki. Let's see what he's got to say. Probably nothing. Former Governor New York Governor George Pataki tells CNN's Rick Sanchez, who is a guy that does one of the best impressions of a man having an opinion I've ever seen in my life. This is not an issue of religious freedom.
It's not a question of not allowing people to worship. It's a question of why this site, where is the funding coming from for this site? We have a right to know that. It will be a registered charity, and they're required to disclose their funding. They haven't done that. And in this particular case, the imam in charge, Imam Raouf, we don't know much about him, but we know some things. One is that he has refused to condemn Hamas as a terrorist organization, although our government has done that. We also know that he has said after September 11th that those attacks were in part a result of American policies, which I reject completely.
That's like saying the Jews brought on their own murder, mass murder. The Jews must be held responsible for their own mass. That's exactly what that's saying. If you go along with that thinking, and a lot of people indulge in that jackass, asinine, kindergarten thinking, well, you know, Andrea Yates, those five kids she drowned in the tub, I wonder what they did to bring that on. You can play that game, man. You can do that dance. And there are people that people did that with the Holocaust. They continue to do that. Well, now, what did the Jews do to attract so much attention and make them so... All bets are off, man. There might have been this reason, that reason. There might have been a million reasons. And there might be a lot of ways of dealing with problems. But when you extend it to the acts of September 11 or to the Holocaust or any of these other outrageous mass murders, brother, you have lost the high moral ground. Your argument is spent. You're done. You're done, man. And there's only one answer for you, a bullet. Because now it's on, see? Well, you know, the Jews, and they brought on, you can talk all you want, man, but the fact is, what was the result of whatever it is you think was the cause was so outrageous and so criminal that there's only...
What about, do you think the Jews did it, or what?
Did what?
But did they...
Well, they didn't do that. They didn't do the ovens, right?
You think the Jews operated the ovens?
I'm just wondering.
No, you jackass. They were Nazis.
Oh, yeah, no, that's right.
Oh, that's right, man. No, the Jews stood there and they bought their own ovens and stuck themselves in it.
I don't know, man. That's what I thought you were saying.
Wow. Woo! Now here's hip-hop mogul Russell Simmons telling Forbes.com why he supports the mosque, because he's a pain in the ass. He also implies that not doing so may intimidate peaceful Muslims, and they may become fringe group Muslims, and they may get violent. And then what would Russell be able to say about that? He, it would be out of his hands.
It's about tolerance. It's about promoting a new state and state. Americans not, the same Muslims didn't attack America.
Oh, I see.
Al-Qaeda did. Al-Qaeda attacked America.
Al-Qaeda or Al-Qaeda?
And to think that there's a potential to fight the Muslim community or to keep aggravating the Muslim community and creating more sometimes people who are Muslim and who do feel that they've been targeted. Sometimes hurt people will hurt people. And if you keep intimidating the community, more people will come out of the ranks of peaceful Muslims,
right,
which is what most every Muslim in the world is,
of course, and then we'll
join the fringe.
Oh, right? And then guess what? They get shot. They get killed. So I would suggest they not join the fringe group. Mr. Simmons, here's what I would suggest they do. Don't join the fringe group. Understand that people are not angry at Muslims. They're angry at a mosque being placed next to Ground Zero. Do you understand? And that's what they're pissed off about. Now, if that pisses off the Muslims and they get radicalized, well, then they're going to die. How do you think, that'll go over in the neighborhood? God, I mean, come on.
Well, you're going to go shoot them.
Like, talking about shooting them, man. If they get radicalized and they pull some violent stuff, they're going to get wasted. What do you think of that?
I'm not against that at all. See, that brother here... I don't understand what he's saying, but what I'm saying to you is, you get all worked up about a mosque. All it is a place of worship. You know, if people go in there worship, what are you worried about?
I'm not worried about anything other than the fact that I understand perfectly why people are upset that there's a mosque going in there next to where those Al-Qaeda, jihadists, Islamists, fascists murdered 3,000 people. Being sensitive to that, I'd say, you know, maybe it's better that we put it someplace else. How's about that, huh? Let me give you another example, Robert. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, the burning cross was actually a symbol used in ancient Scotland. It was not a symbol that the Ku Klux Klan invented. It was a symbol used in Scotland, that the illuminated cross was the light. It was the Son of God. It was the grace of God, you see.
Yeah.
All right. So why don't I just walk down the street with a burning cross? Because I believe in that. Do you want to know why I don't do that? Because I recognize my sensitivity to you as a black man is you will see this a certain way. They better just get that image out of their head, and they better just see it this way instead of that way, and we don't give a crap. This is how it's going to be. Boom, 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 and tough toenails, right? But I wouldn't do that, man, because I wouldn't say, you know, I really believe, and I'm Scottish, okay? Well, at least my grandfather. So, you know, all of that groovy Scottish crap, you know, wearing a dress and throwing a log, if you'll pardon the expression, I'm into that. And the flaming cross of the Scottish Rite, yeah, that's cool, but I would never celebrate with that. I would never use that in my religion because I understand that that's a fearful thing for a lot of my fellow citizens, my fellow Americans, people that I live with, people who are my countrymates, you know, people who live in this country with me. I don't want to put fear into them. I'm not going to be so pig-headed and so selfish and so stupid and so about myself that I'm going to tell you, a black man, well, you just better accept my burning cross because it really represents the flaming symbol of Jesus and has nothing to do with racism and it's all about Scotland.
I understand what you're saying. Okay.
Well, that's it. Well, then you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm saying a mosque at Ground Zero may mean something completely different to a Muslim, but they should have sensitivity as to what it will represent to the overwhelming majority of us because of the trauma we've been through. Black folks are not anti-Christian, but by God, they don't want to see a flaming cross. I'm not anti-Muslim, but I don't want to see a mosque at Ground Zero because that is as hateful to me as a flaming cross probably is to you.
I don't know, man. It's...
Yeah, you know what? I'm making too much sense.
I'm not saying I disagree. I'm just saying, you know.
All right, 877, what, bud?
No, that made a lot of sense to me. See that right there. See what you said right there, you know.
About the flaming cross.
No, but the one before that.
The one before, about the mosque.
No. Between the mosque and the flaming cross.
Between the mosque and the flaming cross.
Talk about Ground Zero?
No. Right after the...
You shut up, man. I don't even know what you're talking about. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Right after the one I said about the flaming...
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I looked at a picture of myself the other day. I saw a picture of myself when I got married. Maria and I are in this picture. Now, I was in my early 40s. I was 43, I think, and she was barely 40. And we both look like we're in our 20s or 30s. It's really funny when you're old. When you get to be 40, you go, oh, boy. But then you look back on 40 from, like, the perspective of where I am now, like my late 50s. I go, God, dude, I look... like young, man. I, you know.
Yeah, you look like you're sort of maybe, well, you still look 40, but not 41.
That's great, man.
What does that mean, man?
Well, what are you talking about?
No, I'm not, nothing you'd understand. No, but I was just looking at that picture. This story here broadcast audiences older than ever. According to the latest Nielsen data, and by the way, when I talk about broadcast audiences, I have to say.
Good day.
All right, broadcast audiences, are older than ever.
Good day.
And the average audience of the four major broadcasters is older than ever. In a study released by audience analyst Steve Sternberg, ABC's median viewership aged 1 year last year to 51. That's ABC's median. Now, that's not the same as average. See? Average is when you take all of the ages, you know, you learned it in math class, you take all the ages, you add them all up, and you divide them by the number of people that you have there. Median is simply the most people of any age group. That's your median. So the median age for ABC is 51. CBS also grew a year. Their median age, 112. Now, I'm kidding.
Well, I was going to say that's old.
No, it's 55. 55. CBS is 55. NBC, 49. And as you might expect, Fox's median age, 40. Four. So Fox has the youngest, NBC the second youngest. ABC the third, and CBS is the oldest, most croned up and pruned up bunch of old people. All right. So anyway, a decade ago, ABC's median age, 43. CBS's median age, 52. NBC's median age, 45, and Fox, 35. Now, what does this mean? It means that the country's getting older. No, what it means is that the TV viewers who watch broadcast network television, and, of course, the difference between broadcast network television and cable television is we're talking about are what used to be the old VHF channels, the Fox, the CBS, the NBC, the ABC, anything between channels 2 and channel 13, and all of the rest of that stuff is cable, pay-per-view, premium channel, you know, movies on demand. But this is old school TV. This is TV from the 1950s. Basically, it is. It's the old network channels. Here in Los Angeles, CBS is channel 2. If I didn't have cable and all I had were rabbit ears, well, nowadays everything has been digitized because rabbit ears aren't going to do anything. Is that it?
Yeah, you've been running your mouth.
Oh, all right. Well, our show is produced by Jason Rance, technical director. We got Don Taylor in, and of course, our associate producer is John. See you guys later on. Thanks. Oh, John Sherwick. Sorry, John.
Phil Hendry.